next speaker is Apai Thong from University of Hawaii.
Hi, good night, I'm sorry. If you have to know how I'm all Apai, I'm going to go to the next speaker. So, I'm going to go to the My name is Apai Thong. Well, it's actually Apai Yuki, I'll explain it later. But currently, I am a student at the Department of Linguistics at the University of Hawaii. I'm also from Eastern Taiwan and local. I would say same as speaker, but conversational, I can handle conversation well. So the topic I'm going to introduce today is from diagnosis to remedial plan, a psycholinguistic assessment of language shifts. L1 proficiency, here I mean durable subject, and conservation planning in durable subject. So Taiwan, next to China, they are officially 15 tribal group that is recognized as an official group in Taiwan. So Zhento, Wu, Li, and Wen in 2003 point out that 9 out of 24 formosan indigenous language are already extinct, and the others are declining rapidly. This includes the group of Sijia, which is spoken in Eastern Taiwan's endangered language. So the two languages I'm going to talk about is the group of Sijia, defined as a disappearing language, versus Mandarin Chinese, defined as a dominant language. So the population in the Durbu Sujiak speech community is around 24,000, but the number of speakers is unknown. So I would say over 50 years old, people still speak the language, but for the middle-aged people, probably semi-speaker, now you know my age. So then the younger generation do not speak the language anymore. So we see some Durbu Sujiak is undergoing some language shift and attrition. So according to Faith, just Brian and Kuhn, 1992, they define language shift as a change in language use. So we're looking at the intergenerational phenomena here. So this is between generations. And whereas language attrition slash loss, according to Young, 1997, he said that the language attrition referred to the gradual loss of confidence. So here is looking at the change in language proficiency. So here we are looking at intragenerational phenomena. So we're looking at the individual proficiency. So these two concepts will be based to develop my project. So here's a concern, two concerns. First of all, according to Schmidt, in his study in Aboriginal languages in Australia, he pointed out that the recognition of language loss is often delayed. So there's a need for a tool for the early diagnosis of language attrition. The second concern here is, according to Davis, 1999, she said, when we think about or develop a language policy and a plan, two things that should keep in mind. First of all, the knowledge of the language functions and stages of the language loss of the speech community. And the second one, there is a need for an understanding of the meaning or nature of language use and attitude within a community. So there are many speech communities. People don't realize that language is being faded away, is disappearing, or is dying. So there's a need for the speech community awareness. So quantitative data are needed for government, for both government program and also for the individual, people in the community, speech community to sense that kind of urgent remedial action that needs to be taken place for the conservation planning. So here's my analogy. So according to Lawson and Salishi, diagnosis and preoperative screening for bleeding disorder. So here's the patient in the emergency room. So what they need to do, they look at the pale patient, but they need to do online measurement to know, for example, blood test. So it's pale. And then they want to see the hemoglobin, for example. So if it's like the degree is the 8, the 8 is really low, so they need to do some action. And the second thing they would like to do is to identify some symptoms from the patients. So here's the analogy between medical and the linguistic diagnosis and remedial plan. So if you look at the second row here, so if a surgeon, surgeon looking at the patient, like I said just now, they would need to do the lab test, you know, for example, the blood test or some other online test. And they also need to do the thorough patient's history and the physical examination before they come up with some treatment, like surgery or medicine. For the linguist, when we are looking at the endangered language, we can follow this process. So first of all, the three components I'm going to introduce for this talk is, first of all, the online measurement, the HALA experiment. For those of you who have attended this pre-conference, HALA project in Dr. O'Grady and Amy Schaefer workshop, you probably have some idea about this, but I'll talk about this later. And the second component is the assessment of individual proficiency. Then I propose this integrative community-based planning, the three components. So my purpose of this study is to assess the throughput strength across age group. Second one is to assess throughput linguistic proficiency across age group. And the third one is to provide quantitative data for throughput community and for government programs. The last one is to establish baseline data as the starting point for conservation program. So here's my request for the research question. First of all, I ask whether younger speakers are weaker in throughput than older speakers, and whether the youngest generation show a further decline. Second one, what is their knowledge of the use of phonological and morphosyntactic properties compared with the knowledge of 84-year-old linguistically competent individual, LCI? I'm going to use this acronym later on for this presentation. This serves as a control group, so that all the rest of the data from each group will be compared with this 84 LCI. The third question I'll ask is that what conservation then would be the most appropriate and effective for the current situation in group? So my hypothesis is that first, older speaker will have higher accuracy and shorter response time. This is a two indicator in HALA project. And then the youngest generation will show further decline. The second hypothesis is that compared with the linguistically competent individual, older age group generally will exhibit phonological and morphosyntactic changes and incompetent use. Conservation planning involving community-based and intergenerational language learning initiative, I propose, will be judged to be the best remedial program, because this has to do with the increase of the domain use. I'll talk about it later. So let's first of all talk about this online measurement. It's HALA, referred to the Hawaii Assessment of Language Access. This is developed by the HALA team led by Dr. O'Grady and Dr. Amy Schaefer in 2009. So here, the underlying logic of the HALA project is the frequency, the relationship between the frequency and the accessibility. So if a speaker is infrequent use in certain language, it will lead to a lower accessibility, and this is a cycle. If a person it has a lower accessibility of a certain language, he or she will be very reluctant to use this language. So it's a kind of cycle here. So HALA project is a series of simple picture learning tests, and then language strength is assessed by measuring speed of access to lexical item. So each speaker is tested in two languages, compared for relative speed of access for these two languages. Here's the crucial point. The response time for language A versus language B in each speaker is an indicator of relative accessibility of the two languages. So here's my participant. So in 2009, I had 68 participants from Hong Eastern Taiwan, Hualien. So there, I have four groups. The older groups, so it's 41 to 65 years old, and then adult, 26 to 40, young adults, 16 to 25, and the youngest group youth is 10 to 15, all are from Hualien village. So here's the two indicators that I just mentioned in HALA project. The first of all is to see the level of accuracy. So this is the result of the mean accuracy from the high frequency word. So if you look at this vertical line, this is the proportion level of accuracy. and this is the four groups. So let's just look at this slide a little bit more. If we don't look at the older adults, oh, by the way, the blue bar is Turku, and the red bar is Mandarin Chinese, the dominant language. So if we looking at old adults and young adults and youth group, which language do you think is they can do better? So just like judging by their level of accuracy. So we see the red bar. So okay, but these three are higher than the blue bar, which is Turku. So the level of accuracy is higher than the older adults. The older level of accuracy in Mandarin Chinese is higher. But right now, let's just look at the blue bar, the Turku language. So first of all, we see the older group, older adult and adult group, has a higher level of accuracy than the younger group. But the second thing here, we see that in the older adult, they are pretty good use in the two languages. They are kind of balanced. But then if we look at the second group, adult group, we start to see the shift here. So the Turku level of accuracy is lower, but we see the further shift in the younger group here, young adult and the youth. And notice here, the level of accuracy in the young adult and youth, this is the same. So this is the indicator, one of the indicators of the HANA project. But the second indicator, which is the crucial point, also the crucial indicator is the reaction time, RT. So just by looking at this, again, this vertical is the mating time, this is the four groups. So just by looking at this in general, we see the blue bar, Turku, has a slower reaction time than the Mandarin Chinese. So, but what we are truly interested here is the differences between these two languages, each group. So we can see here from older adults, the differences is 208 milliseconds, and then for the adult group, they are 330 milliseconds. The difference is getting larger. And the third group, young adult, even larger, 543 milliseconds. This is only, we are talking about a very limited set of data. And the youngest group, even larger, 787 milliseconds. And the statistically showing, does it show that aside from the older OA, the other three groups are showing significant difference. So, according to Lanza and Kopke, they all agree that attrition is intimately linked to social aspects of the language use. So in HANA project, after doing this reaction time, we have this link queue for people to, you know, to a questionnaire for people to do. So we were trying to find the correlation between the RT and the language use and level of accuracy and language use. So here's the result. If you look at your left-hand side, this is the Turku use, and this is the level of accuracy. So we see that if the percentage of Turku use is less, the proportion of accuracy, the level of accuracy is lower too. So, but then if they have the Turku use is high, is more, and then the proportion of level of accuracy is higher. So there is a positive correlation here. But then we look at the reaction time on your right hand side. So again, the vertical is the mating time, and that's Turku use. And we see that if the Turku use is less, then the reaction time showing slower. And if the Turku use is more, then we see the reaction time is faster. So we see the correlation between language use and the reaction time, and the language use and the level of accuracy. So just now we just talk about the online measurement. Now the blood test has done. Now we're looking at some symptoms. So I have some assessment of focus for phonological and morphosyntax proficiency. But because of the time, I'm going to only talk about one of them. However, first thing actually, I did it this last month. The first one is a repetition test. The second one is picture sentence making. So the subject has to produce some sentences. The third one is Excel test. It's a kind of comprehension task. The last one is the picture-based storytelling. Even though I don't have time to talk about the first three, but the result shows that the consistent density shows the same result. That means the older group showing more level of accuracy versus the youngest one showing the lowest level of accuracy. It's a, the, you know, the level is consistent. So let's just kind of briefly talk about this fourth task. It's a picture-based storytelling task. So every subject has to look at this book, Frog, Where Are You? It's made by Mayer, 1969. So I have three focus, but I'm going to just talk about the first one. I'm looking at, after they, you know, produce a free spoken data, I'm looking at the proportion of code switching and the pulse. But I think we'll just talk about code switching today. So this is the first, the older adult, 65 years old or something. And then an adult and a young adult, the youth. So you can see visually that the first group have no code switching. And adult started to see something different here. Guju, if somebody speaks Japanese, can you help me? Guju, yeah. Cues. So we have started to have the guju, and then the young adult started to have taogiao. So all that red print is in Chinese, and then we also have guju. And then the last group, if you can see, the red one is Chinese, and then only the frequency, I mean, frequent words like dafei, sleep, dog, hobby. Only that is in blue form. So here's the proportion of code switching. So we see the OA, the older adult, doesn't have any blue. No, doesn't have any Mandarin going around. And then you have pretty much like almost 80% so code switching. I think my time is coming to the end, but let me just go back and make a little summary here. So we see these two set of data. There's an urgent need for remedial action. So we see that in HALA online measurement, there's a clear language shift here. We're skipping at the intergenerational phenomena here. And also, this set of data tell us that response time over a more precise measure of language access, suggesting a further decline. Whereas in the level of accuracy, we cannot see that. But the second set, the second proficiency test, through language attrition, we see the individual proficiency is getting declined. So we see the gradual loss of phonological and morphosyntactic skill is declining too. So here's the critical factor. According to Roman, he says that the language shift may be thought of as a loss of speakers and domain of use, both of which are crucial to the survival of the language. So, judging this set of data, group language shift is possibly caused by infrequent use of the language, decline in domain of use, and lack of intergenerational transmission. And if you attend the pre-conference, the acquisition workshop taught by Dr. Billy and Stephen Matthew, you probably see the quote here from O'Grady's note. There is nothing we can do to change children's linguistic ability, but we can perhaps change the conditions under which they are exposed to language. So we're thinking about the language use, and if the people or children can have enough, or sufficient language exposure, there is a chance, there's a possibility. So here I propose ICBP, Integrative Community-Based Conservation. So it is the language learning from the bottom up, and it is an internal type rather than a top-down policy. ICBP comprises community-based initiative and intergenerational language learning. These two are promoting the exposure of the language use, so to speak. So here, this is the advantage. Bottom-up initiative rather than top-down approaches are a top priority at this moment. Because as you remember that 2007, the United Nations has adopted this article or policy that it's about the declaration of the indigenous people's right, that including the language rights. So it's now for us, for the bottom-up efforts that need to take action. Second one is to ensure that the community stays in charge of its own long-term language maintenance and to relieve the multifaceted pressure and provide an opportunity to boost confidence as a community. Because I think number three has to do with identity. We can talk about this later, I mean, or future. To involve a collaborative work and a partnership between researcher and the community and between the older and younger speaker. So ICBP, the goal for this is, first of all, I think this is very crucial, to foster the positive language attitude in the speech community first, and then to ensure that intergenerational transmission is operating in homes and community. And the long term is to increase the number of domains used and speakers. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? How do we fulfill this goal? There are some methods, I think some of you are pretty familiar with this. For fulfill this intermediate goal to ensure the intergenerational transmission, things can be done. For example, documentation and pedagogy, family-focused growth promotion, immersion classroom, master apprentice program, those are helping out how to help our language to be passed down. For the long-term goal, the goal is to increase the language domain of use, again, it's a frequent use of the language. So, community-based initiative. So that has to be economically, you know, developed in this community. So we have economic programs, educational programs, social programs, and a cultural program. So, but how do we implement them? So we have goal, we have method. According to Siegel, he recommend that community involvement, non-government organization, and decentralized program should be factored into any language planning equation. So here's my proposal. NGO is my future, probably part of my personal mission that can help, you know, fulfill the goal and to implement those programs. So that's the goal that we talk about. It make sure the global speech community is passing down a language and make sure the language is increase the domain of use, so make sure the people is exposed in the language. So this is a method. So here's my concluding remark. First, there are strong signs of cross-generational decline of Dogo and further decline in youth. Response time over Pithala, over a more precise measure of language access than accuracy does. The third one, frequency of use can maintain the accessibility of the language. So here I'm trying to make a strong point that frequency of use can maintain the language. And ICBP can help to stem further Dogo erosion and to ensure Dogo long-term preservation because it's a community base. And it's a temporary reversal of a critical shift toward Mandarin Chinese. My further research, because HALA has three sets, so I only do the body, so I'm body turn. I'm going to do the rest of it, which is nature turn and structure building. And I also am interested in looking at social factor of it, which is an ethnographic approach to language policy and planning. And once I have a conservation program, I will do the assessment of the effectiveness of this program. This is my reference and Mahai Subibagai. Thank you very much. And if you were interested in this HALA project, here's the website. Thank you.
Thank you.